verdad. Mis ojos brillan al pensar en su mirada tan profunda y sin igual.
Welcome back to Cristo the Rock here at 100.7, and we're having a great discussion. We were talking about with Pastor Jose that he says, I just feel like I'm in a living room having this conversation. And that's what we all, when we're here, it's a great time. Some people ask me, well, are you not nervous? I said, no, because I'm just having this fun conversation where we can be real. We can share our experiences, our testimonies, what God has done for us, and we can share skills.
Absolutely.
And information that it's helpful for you that are out there. And we've been talking about forsaking our past and not looking through the rearview mirror. And sometimes we look back, we take a glance, because we learn from our experiences, our failures, our mistakes, our successes. And those are things that go on the memory chest, like we were talking here. We can put those remembrance and those spiritual markers where we can look back and see how we have grown. And one of the things that we were talking on the break was getting stuck. Sometimes we might not be stuck personally, but our marriage might be stuck, which affects everything in the household, in the family, because marriage is the foundation of the house, of the family. And sometimes how can we realize that we are stuck? And I just want to share a couple of things. I'm going to pass it to Pastor Jose because he has some thoughts he wants to share. I like your thought of self-diagnosing. That is a good way. Even sometimes if you write, have a journal, have a checklist. And there's, when I teach marriage workshops, we go through the different basic skills that every marriage, healthy marriage, needs to have. And, you know, you can ask questions like, how is our communication? Are we communicating, or do we fight or get defensive? How do we handle conflict? Mm-hmm. Is somebody just shut the door and walks out, or they punch a fist through the wall? Especially in us Latinos, you know, yeah, we have a temper.
That was right in the back of my mind. When you were saying that, I was thinking, are we... We're talking about the same
people.
How
many holes their walls have?
Yeah, and like finances, how do we handle, and is there healthy ways that we manage different things, constructive conflict, even our sex life? I know that, how do we handle that? How are we satisfied, and are we being unselfish?
Estamos hablando de, y se lo voy a pasar al Pastor José, pero estamos hablando de varias maneras que podemos estar estancados y hacernos como una evaluación nosotros mismos. Voy a repetir los mismos puntos. Evaluarnos en el sentido, ¿cómo está nuestra comunicación como pareja? Nos gritamos, podemos comunicarnos hasta nuestras penas, o cosas que no nos gustan las podemos comunicar, o nos salimos, tiramos la puerta, o le metemos el puño a la pared. ¿Cómo manejamos el conflicto? Uh-huh. ¿Cómo manejamos las finanzas? ¿Cómo está el nivel de satisfacción en nuestra vida sexual si estamos casados? Y todos esos son parámetros que nos pueden ayudar, como unos marcadores que nos pueden ayudar a ver cómo está nuestro matrimonio. Y tal vez tenemos depresión, o estamos deprimidos, o nos sentimos enojados personalmente, pero no es por nosotros, sino es por la situación que nos rodea.
Así
Pastor
es.
José.
Así es. Es que este tema de uno, es decir, el tema general de uno mirar hacia atrás, y a veces el mirar hacia atrás nos estanca en nuestro movernos hacia el futuro y hacia el éxito. No solamente es una dinámica que nosotros caemos en eso a nivel personal, pero también es una dinámica que caemos en eso a nivel de las relaciones, específicamente en este caso que estamos hablando del matrimonio. Así como uno tiene la tendencia de posiblemente mirar hacia atrás, hacia fallas o failures que uno, es decir, ha tenido a nivel personal, también uno tiene el potencial de mirar hacia atrás, hacia los errores que uno o la otra persona su cónyuge ha cometido en su matrimonio. So we have the tendency of, you know, not only looking back for ourselves, but we also look back within our relationships and our marriage. And then obviously that's going to have an effect of us moving forward. And then could that be affecting, I mean, are we looking back so much at what our spouse has done, the mistakes they've made, the errors they've made, where it's not allowing us to move forward in a healthy relationship? And I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with. We struggle in getting beyond that moment in the past where that person did something, and it comes back to our mind when we see something similar. Because, you know, your husband might have forgotten to take out the garbage a month ago, but most likely he's going to forget to take it out next week.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if he does, that's a great illustration.
And if he does forget to take out the garbage next week, how are you going to respond to that? And are you going to keep it in perspective that it's really just the taking trash. Out the garbage? Mm-hmm. So I think in a lot of ways, and again, it goes back to some of the things that we spoke about. Rear view mirror, what does it say? Objects may appear closer than what they are.
That's
so
good.
when we look back on our spouses or our children's mistakes or our boss's mistakes, those people that we're in relationships, as humans, we're going to have the tendency to see them almost through a telescope. And how are we going to react to that? Are we going to react in grace, mercy, and forgiveness, or are we going to be judgmental?
Right. And I think what you just said, when you say maybe a month ago he forgot to throw out the trash and he said, sorry, you know, I won't forget. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, or a month later, he forgot again. You got to put that into perspective.
Yeah.
How does that weigh out? You know, who cares who throws out the trash? Just get it out. And if he forgets, but there's so many other things that have more weight, that have more value. And there's other things that have jeopardized a marriage, that have hurt a marriage. And there's been couples that have gone through things that are a lot more serious mm-hmm. than that, like betrayal. And mm-hmm. and they've gone through maybe physical abuse where mm-hmm. a man has said, you know, I will never do that to you again. And then there's a difference between this person never doing that again or a woman who actually lives in domestic violence. And being able to put that into perspective, being able to forgive your children when they make mistakes. And when we look back, we say, you know what? We made it through that.
Mm-hmm.
We already went past that. And not bring it up when we're faced with a new challenge. And all of a sudden, when we're faced with a new challenge, it's like heavier because we're bringing everything along with it. So it's almost like starting all over again.
Yeah.
So we need to find a place where, when we do look back, try to weigh out. I would strongly suggest weigh out the positive.
I want to bring, because I love giving skills.
Yes.
Because sometimes we know so much theory, but how do I put it into practice? And I think a good question for marriages and individuals in a marriage relationship, what is our goal?
Yes, absolutely.
Nobody got married to have a bad marriage when you got in. And I just don't think we want to live our whole marriage life in just depressed or in anger or in unforgiveness, because that is time that is wasted. So I think what you can do for the audience that are listening to us, ask yourself, what is my goal in this marriage? And if I hold unforgiveness, does that help me attain my goal? So sometimes it's like we have to think it logically. And I tell people when I do these workshops, write these questions down. Put it in your bathroom. What is my goal? And is my behavior achieving my goal?
Right.
Or taking steps to that goal? Because then those things are not going to be that huge. And you're going to decide. I think you need to still talk about it. But I think they're not that huge. And you start assuming, we had talked this a long time ago about assuming the goodwill.
Yeah.
The human being, 99% of the times, assume the worst of the other human being.
Right.
So we have to have this shift of thinking, change our mind, renew our mind, our ways of thinking, and start thinking the best.
Right. And another thing that came to my mind has to do with looking back and looking through the rearview mirror. When we created our goals, when you walk into a marriage or you enter into the covenant of marriage, which is a covenant, 90% of the time you're in your early stages in life and you establish goals based on your stamina at that time, your mentality at that time, your state of mind at that time. But through the years, those things that maybe you were both aiming at, maybe one of you wanted to buy a house and time goes on and those goals you're not able to reach because of a job situation, because somebody became ill along the way. Part of those vows is
in rich and poor.
It's been a while,
huh? Yeah, it's been a while. Wait a minute. And in sickness and in health.
Yes.
And the thing is, when we listen to or when we make those vows or we hear those vows, we're not always talking about a common cold.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We're not always talking about, you know, that you got the flu and I need to bring you sopita, you know?
Right.
We're also talking about real life issues where age comes along. Maybe someone, you know, became disabled during
yes.
the marriage, or maybe someone acquired a disease in the marriage, whether it be cancer, whether it be. What are you going to do with those goals? How are you going to respond to those goals? Are you going to have the same desire? Are you going to be able to walk it out? And I think marriage is challenging, and I think we need to educate ourselves as much as possible to be able to manage ourselves first.
And we should do a program on marriage.
I think we should.
That would be great. You know that on Saturday, because it's sort of, plays into
there you
what
go.
We're talking about. We have a life group for marriages. We have one both in English and in Spanish, but I lead the one for Spanish speakers. And one of the members there of Manto brought up a question. It wasn't really about herself, but it was about somebody that she knows pertaining to a young person that, you know, several years ago in her adolescence, she became pregnant and her parents encouraged her to, you know, get married. So now, you know, 5-7 years later, I'm not really sure the exact time frame, but, you know, 5 years later, sometime later, this young lady, you know, looks back at her life and their marriage isn't healthy right now. It's not in a good condition. And then the question, you know, presented to me, you know, that day was, I mean, this person made a decision based on circumstance and based on the advice of somebody else, you know, but the marriage seems to be going nowhere. It seems to be stuck. This girl's looking back at the process and is looking back at her decision, obviously with regrets. So, you know, they throw that question to me as a minister. And my response was the following. If we're talking about marriage, there's two things. There's a process involved and there's a covenant involved.
Mm-hmm.
The process has to do with the decision. You know, in my case, I met my wife in a specific circumstance and there was a specific process which we went through that is obviously is unique to every process is unique.
Yeah.
That we went through in order to make a decision, and then based on that decision, we made a covenant. So on the whiteboard, you know, I put the word decision and I put the word covenant in class. And then the question I threw out to the people at Manto there that are in the group is, which one does God honor and based on what does God function? Does he function based on the decision you made or does he function based on the covenant? What does God honor?
That's good.
And God honors.
Coming to theaters near
you. Yeah.
God honors the covenant.
Yes.
That is what he honors. God doesn't honor our processes in which how we make decisions. He hopes that we were to make decisions based on his word, but that's not always the case. It's not because of our sinful nature, different reasons. It's not always the case. But in spite of the process, God is always going to honor the covenant. And based on his covenant with us through Jesus, he's going to redeem the process. Something you said interesting earlier, God doesn't change our past. He cannot erase it. He cannot mm-hmm. erase what we did. But he can redeem
yes.
what we've done. And even if the process was wrong and the decision might have been wrong. Mm-hmm. The basis of your decision might have been wrong. But because of the covenant we have in Christ, we don't have to continue to look back at that as a mistake. But we can look back at that as something that God has redeemed and has set it aside as something precious for himself.
Can I say,
yes.
because I think of the scriptures that his mercies are new every morning.
Correct.
Every day, the sun after the night, the sun will come up. And I think when, as you were talking, it comes back to choices. Mm-hmm. We choose. We're free agents. God made us that way. We could choose to do right or we could choose to do wrong. And I think every day we need to choose. I choose life. I choose to love my spouse. I choose to, you know, I was thinking when you were talking of so many marriages that were prearranged. And they had the less divorce. I don't know the statistics now, but I think there's still less, but I'm not sure. But I've met this couple that have been married all their lives. They're an older couple. And they said they chose every day to learn to love that person.
Correct.
To look at the best in that person. To serve that person. So I just, to all the listeners that are listening to us, remember every day you stand at a crossroads. You can choose to move forward or to look back on the rearview mirror and stay stuck.
That's right. What was that topic that you brought on one of our programs? Was it the biology of love?
The biology.
That was excellent, because when we come into decision and covenant, it's at a certain time of our life. And then when things change, how do you
yes.
honor that?
And yeah, and that's what happens real quick with the biology of love. It's a chemical release when we fall in love, we feel the butterflies, but that dwindles after a year, and that's where you have to make a choice to nurture the relationship.
Right, in a very conscious decision to love that person, as an individual, and who God has made that person to be. And so I think tonight,
We have to continue this.
Yeah, this is amazing. I think it's been in a great evening. We've had Pastor Jose Serpa, who is our guest here on Cristo the Rock, and Nid Reyes, who is always shares a powerful word. And I'm sure our audience would love to have Jose come back. And I greet you tonight. And all I can say to you is God is a faithful God, and he will meet you right where you're at, whatever it may be. Maybe you're driving, you're going through some situation, or maybe you're just so happy tonight that you just say, I love God. Whatever the situation is, we need to know that we serve an amazing God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and he does breathe life into us. So we dismiss this program tonight saying that we're happy to be here
yeah.
on Cristo the Rock. Evang Dai and Pastor Aaron Menchaca, who could not be here, from La Viña. He also sends his greetings, and to everyone out there in Miami listening to us, in California and all through Dallas Metroplex, we say good night. From Evang Dai
and from Pastor Jose, good night.
And Enid Reyes, good night.
Good night.
Mucha gente está asustada porque el mundo se va a acabar, pero yo vivo tranquilo, vivo con seguridad. Mucha gente Jesús. manos lo olvidaron, sin querer lo lastimaron y hoy se muere de dolor. Ya él cumplió más de 1000 años.